We're back with more of Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. Libraries hold millions of stories. They can be found in books, magazines, video, and online. But librarians know and often tap into another source of unique, lesser-known stories from their patrons. Erin Lorandos, librarian and returning poet, has started a new blog project that she hopes everyone will use. Poetry in the Stacks invites all library visitors and the librarians themselves to tap into their creative energies and express their library experiences through poetry. Lorandos joins Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson to share some poetry and to explain exactly what meeting visitors face-to-face gives the librarian that digital communications don't.
Well, we still actually have a lot of interaction with our patrons face-to-face, and that's different in different types of libraries, of course. When I worked in the academic library, most of my reference interactions and that sort of thing were definitely online. We had chat reference and over the phone and email and all that sort of thing. And we do that in the public libraries, too. But, of course, most of our patrons just come to us for the questions that they have. And I like that because you can really gauge how well a person is understanding what you're saying, and you're able to kind of change trajectory as you're talking, and you're able to customize that experience for that patron a lot better in a face-to-face interaction, I believe, for sure.
Do you believe or do you think that that's going to change as the roles of the libraries might be changing? Or do you think that that human interaction is still going to be there with the library institution?
I think that it will always be there because there's always going to be a group of people who prefer that. We have definitely grown as a profession and as an institution to accommodate different types of interaction and different types of information that we're giving and receiving, of course, from our patrons. But I think there's always going to be a place for the physical library, for sure. There's always going to be a group of people who need to be shown how to use whatever new technology it is or, you know, whatever resource it is. And I think the most important thing that people forget about libraries is we have access to a lot of stuff that you don't just using the internet at home. And even if it's as simple as having access to an article database or something like that, the general public is never going to pay the thousands of dollars that it requires to have access to that kind of stuff. And so we can act as that intermediary and show people how to use it, how to recognize good information versus bad information, and, you know, allow them to have access to those things that they can't afford at home. If it's as simple as an internet connection or something way up to, you know, some very specific informational resource that we have that they wouldn't have at home.
And so these poems, which is why I'm asking you all these questions, are about your interactions with patrons and the patrons' interactions with you guys.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Please share some of these poems.
Okay, so the first one I'd like to share, it actually has a title.
What?
I know, you guys are amazed. So I'll just give you a little bit of background. This poem is called Enigma, and that is in reference to the Enigma machine that was captured during World War II. If you've seen the movie U-571, you'll be familiar with the story. The Americans were going after this Enigma machine that helped break the code for the ciphers that the Germans were sending. And it was on this boat. It was actually on the U-505, but apparently U-571 makes a better title for a movie, so they changed it. and when the Americans went to capture this piece of technology that the Germans were using, well, you'll know from the movie, there was a bit of a snafu, and the American boat was sunk. And so they were forced to board and try to operate the German U-boat. And of course, being Americans, most of them didn't read German and weren't, you know, prepared for that to happen. And so they had to deal with those consequences, of course. But ultimately, we were successful in capturing the Enigma machine on May 9th, 1941, and that was an instrumental part of our ability then to decipher the German transmissions and know more about what their plans were and able to attack them more accurately and things like that. So the gentleman that came into the library actually was on that boat. He was on the U.S. boat that went after the U-505, and he started out by asking me for information about his commanding officer. And I'm just looking, you know, and I'm finding some articles about him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he was, you know, he was instrumental in capturing the Enigma machine. And he's like, yes, I know, I was there. And I was just like, what? You know, I mean, of all of the random people to come into the library, somebody with all of this experience and all of this history attached to them, that's the coolest thing about working in the library is you never know who you're going to be able to talk to. And here I had this opportunity then to talk to this gentleman who is, of course, getting up there in age now, who had this amazing experience in his life and was a part of a mission that was so instrumental to us eventually winning the war against Germany. And I was just so struck by that interaction that I decided to write a poem about it. And so here it is, Enigma. Child, I was there, he said, with quiet, seeming abandoned as he waited for me to find for him a memory, proof of what he knows as truth, of what history has forgotten, written, spoken in code, broken by our boys, now old men, waiting for us to remember.
And that's the beauty about libraries is that you can go there and you can discover information about yourself, but also the people that you know about and the things that you've taken part in. And no matter what age, you can always still learn.
Exactly, exactly. And luckily, I was able to find some validating articles for him relating to what he had remembered that, you know, now since the world knows that history through this movie, which apparently wasn't super accurate, go figure, he was able to, you know, reconstruct that history in his own mind.
Definitely. What's the next poem for us?
This one is called Baha'i. And if you're unfamiliar with that term, it's a religious group, and they have a pretty big representation in the Midwest. I know there's a beautiful Baha'i temple in Evanston, Illinois, which is not too far away from you guys there in Milwaukee, which I would highly recommend. Even if you're not of a religious persuasion, these beautiful buildings are just something you have to see. So definitely take a look at that if you're down the Illinois way. But this gentleman is a person who comes to our digital help desk almost every single day that it's open. He needs a lot of digital help, apparently. But he's become one of our regulars, and he has a very interesting history as well that I have been able to learn more about as I've been helping him through this desk. And this desk is a different type of desk in our library. We provide one-on-one digital assistance. So anybody coming in with any sort of device, you know, their laptop or a Nook or a Kindle or an iPod, something like that, we can help them learn how to use that device with our library's resources. So how to download ebooks or how to download music. We don't have CDs anymore in our library. We have a service online that allows patrons to download songs instead. And so these are things that people need to be taught how to use, of course, or at least how to use with their specific device. And so we have this desk open. Right now it's just 6 hours a week, but we plan on expanding that, where folks can just come in. We're open for 2 hours at a time, and they just come in and get that one-on-one help. And I haven't seen that a lot in other libraries where I've worked, so it's really cool to be a part of. But anyway, this gentleman, I have learned, he is originally from Iraq. His family has been persecuted because of their religious belief. And the Baha'i are in opposition to the Muslims and other groups that are more prevalent and more powerful in those areas. And he has, because of that, he moved to the U.S. and he lost a lot before he came here. And so he has been able to tell me a lot of those stories. And so this poem, Baha'i, is a reflection on him. He's telling me his story. And these are some sentences pulled directly from conversations that I've had with him. So you'll kind of get an idea of how he talks and how he thinks about the world from this poem.
Interesting. Okay.
All right, here we go. I tell you this now, he says, because you are my daughter. What makes the flower white like your skin while mine is dark? What makes leaves green? And that man over there, he won't talk to me because I think it is because I am not like him. We pray to different gods when we really just need to love.
Wow, those conversations must be fascinating.
He is a very interesting gentleman, yes. He is also very feisty, which makes it kind of fun to talk to him. But he gets very philosophical, as you can tell, as well.
Definitely. And then the last poem?
The last poem I would like to share is an interaction that I had with a young patron in our youth services department. And if anyone out there works with kids, you'll know they're an interesting breed. And one thing that I love about my library is that all of us librarians and all the other folks who work in the library at the desk rotate between all of the desks. And so we all work in the reference department. So we all get to talk to the gentleman and his Enigma machine. You know, we all work at the circulation desk. So we all deal with the, well, I never checked out those books that you were charging me for and all of that sort of thing. And we all get to work on the youth desk. And so we all get to influence many different types of patrons. And you can tell the interactions at those different desks vary as greatly as the type of patron you're serving. Please don't run. But I forgot something, and it's really important. What's that? My game or my drink or my bag or my book. I don't remember. Well, we can still be safe. Yes, I know. I just needed to hurry.
That sounds pretty accurate.
Yep. You know all about this.
Oh, I do. With my library experience, yes, I do. Exactly. And teaching experience. But yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of interactions with community members and the patrons, you are actually starting a brand new project. So could you tell us a little bit about the Poetry in the Stacks?
Yes. So Poetry in the Stacks is a new website or blog that I just started not too long ago to kind of compile poetry written in, about, for, in relation to libraries. And I think that, you know, this is going to be a very interesting project, as you kind of saw from the different interactions that I have just in one library. And those three things could have happened in one day. The wide range of things that we experience is so great. I really am anxious to see what other folks might come up with as far as poetry relating to their libraries and their patrons that they serve. And so I would love for people to submit to this project. I have a specific email set up for submissions.
That can be found on the website.
And it can be found on the website, exactly. It's poetryinthestacks@gmail.com. And if you have any poetry that you've written about libraries or about interactions or just written in a library even, because I feel that the library then becomes an active player in the art you're creating because of the ideas that, you know, are free-flowing there. I would love for people to submit to this, and I hope to grow it into something that's as wide and varied as the experiences that we all have in libraries. And these can be written by librarians. These can be written by folks doing research at, you know, at the library on campus. These can be written by patrons, anything. So I would love to hear what you guys have to say.
And it's fascinating as well, because being a patron or a librarian, you are having two different kinds of interactions with the library itself.
Exactly.
And I think that would be really interesting to catch, and the different backgrounds and the different age groups. I think that would really be interesting to read. And what happens with these poems once they are submitted?
Well, obviously, because it's my project, I get to decide what goes on the website. But, you know, as long as we're not being too mean to the patrons, I'll pretty much post anything that you guys send me. But on the blog, which is poetryinthestacks.wordpress.com, I have started to compile a few of the ones that I just read today, as well as some written by more established poets. And I would love to post whatever you guys send to me on this website, and then we can share it with the world.
Excellent. All right. Well, Erin Lorandos, thank you so much for sharing your poetry and your new project with us, and we hope to participate.
Of course. It's been a pleasure. Thanks very much, Eleanor.
Thank you.
Erin Lorandos, librarian and poet, created Poetry in the Stacks, a blog that invites librarians and patrons to write poetry about their experiences in the library. More information can be found at wuwm.com/lakeeffect, and Lorandos spoke with Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson. And that's all the time we have today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks again, as always, for tuning in. We're looking forward to having you join us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air comes your way next. It's 11 o'clock.